Hi and welcome to CDI's Restorative Practices podcast, Circles of Connection, where we get right into the heart of the community and talk all things RP. These past few months we've been busy collecting stories from right across the country about the impact of RP on people's work and life. We talked to social and community workers, youth workers, SNAs, teachers, students and more to gather their testimonies and stories. Each episode is focusing on a different setting. If you're not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative questions and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of our podcast series where it's all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danew, a restorative practices trainer for CDI, delighted to be traveling around Ireland to gather these stories. This episode is focusing on what we could call domestic use of RP, and you will hear a few participants from our previous episodes answering the question, do you use restorative practices at home and how? And people shared stories and talked about their challenges. First, Tracy from our episode 3 used restorative practices at home quite intuitively before knowing it was actually RP.
Well, I suppose I had 3 children in 4 years, so that meant I had 3 teenagers altogether. So I had quite early on decided that I didn't want my sons using violence to solve their differences. So I set about practicing RP, except I didn't know that's what I was doing. So when there was a conflict between them, I would sit them down and I would say, right, what happened? What were you thinking at the time? What would you do differently? And I had never heard of RP, but it was to me a natural way to seek to resolve conflict. And it worked. And from the age of about 10, neither of my sons ever raised a hand to each other. And they always resolve things. They'd have their arguments and their words, and it would be resolved that way.
It echoes what Amy from episode 11 and 12 says about her mom.
It's mostly my mum does it, like without even being trained in restorative practice. Like she did that for me as well. She would have a chat with me. Like I don't know where she learned it, but she did it, and it's quite similar.
Carol and Aisling from episode 11 and 12 talk about the positive impact restorative practices had on their relationship with their children.
It definitely has a big impact on, I have a 5-year-old son, and I definitely know, again, it would have been part of my life before this, but it's been even more apparent over the last couple of years. It's just, you know, obviously the challenge is always with the child at that age, but, and it would be unrealistic for me to say there isn't, because there is, but there are definitely situations where I would have changed my approach with him in terms of how I talk to him and how he talks to me, and even just saying, you know, I'm sorry, or I don't think we handled that, but how do you think we could have done something differently? I would use that quite a lot with him. If we had got into a situation where, particularly during the pandemic, I suppose in things like, even I will start conversations like, well, I tell you about my day, and that encourages him then to say, well, actually, my day was X, Y, and Z, rather than me saying, how was your day? What did you do? Where did you, you know, question. So that's there, the things I see. They're little things, but actually they do have a big impact on the way he approaches me with things, or he'd say, I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling sad, or so. And that, again, has been me kind of working with him in different ways. It has a big impact on the way I would approach my son.
Well, yeah, from a home life perspective, I have 2 children, 10 and 7. And I think if it had been this time last year with the lockdown, I wouldn't have been as patient, because it has been challenging, let's face it, for everybody. But definitely in terms of, you know, doing homework and that communication, and they know they can talk to me, whereas it's not a case of, oh, for God's sake, there's no arguments really. Now, there are, don't get me wrong, but, you know, even this morning, for example, my daughter came into me and she was really, really upset, and my husband kind of was just like, oh, you know, pull yourself together. Whereas when I talked to her, I got down to what was bothering her. And it was just that she was tired, hungry, and missed her friends, whereas she hadn't had that conversation with my husband, she had it with me. So it's definitely opened those kind of communication channels with my two children.
Kim from episode 7 recalls the time she facilitated a restorative meeting for our very young children and nephew.
I definitely do, and I did more at the start when they were very little. And my husband is South African, and we'd go over to his family for Christmas every few years. And he has a nephew, there's 5 weeks between his nephew and my middle child. But the nephew and Cole and my oldest boy, they clash. And like, he's an only child and his dad isn't around. There's a lot of stuff going on for him, but for kids, that's really difficult. And then all of a sudden he has these three cousins coming into his space who he only gets to see every 2 years, you know, so it's understandable. But it's hard for my kids who grow up with the three of them in the house, plus my three, my niece and nephews are up every day, plus whatever friends' kids were minding. Our house is always full. So there's no such thing as it's mine, so I can play with it. It's like, whatever it is, whoever it belongs to, you play with it when the other person is finished. That's just the way it is. So we had issues when we went to South Africa, and I literally sat down, 2 4-year-olds and a 5-year-old, and did a restorative, used the restorative questions with them after they'd had a big fight. And especially, and with the grandmother, my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law as well, because they were being very affected by what essentially was just normal kids' behaviour. But because they weren't used to loads of kids interacting, they were allowing it to upset them. They're like, oh, it's Christmas, we should all be getting along. And I'm like, they're four. But anyway, so I did an actual proper facilitated meeting with my in-laws. And it worked quite well. It worked really well for the kids. And it worked really well for my mother-in-law and sister-in-law as well, because they weren't, I suppose, keeping all this in and trying to parent their child for my benefit. You know, I was like, don't worry about it. So it cleared the air.
Geraldine from episode 3 had a meaningful restorative conversation with her sister-in-law.
Well, at home there was an issue between one of my sister-in-laws made a comment to my partner about me that was quite hurtful, and really hurtful, like not sleeping all night hurtful. And I was so angry. I was indignant. I was like ready to cut her out of my life. I was so hurt, so hurt. And, you know, we'd had a family wedding and emotions are high anyway, aren't they, at those things. So in the morning she came into my bedroom and I was really unprepared for her, because I had like pains in my jaws from holding the anger all night. And I started with, I heard you said something. I want to talk to you about that. It really hurt me. I value our relationship. You're married to my brother, you know. And I found that the more I got into using the restorative language, the more I owned that bit of hurt. And actually at that moment, it wasn't even about her saying it. It was just like, I had to say my piece. And she was like, oh, I want to give you a hug. No, don't hug me. Don't hug me in those moments. It's not going to make it better. I feel hurt. I've told you I feel hurt. This is why I felt hurt. But also, I want to have a relationship with you. It is important to me. You know, you're married to my brother. You're the mother of my nephews. Like, this is important. This is important to me. And actually now, our relationship, without like any formal... She did say, I'm sorry. And it wasn't that formal. It was a conversation between two adults. But it, for me, it was powerful, because it gave me an opportunity to say, I've been hurt, but I want this relationship. And we have still now got a relationship. So I don't know where that relationship would be without that sort of foundation, because it could have gone into you said and you did and you know, rather than let's cut it out. So that really helped me, because it kept the relationship for everybody in the family too, because nobody then had to like think about, you know, am I taking sides or am I, it's just, they had an issue, they've resolved it, it's said, it's done, move on. So yeah, that's for me like the most kind of striking one.
John Paul, Estras and Fionn from episode 6 mediate conflicts at home.
Yes, I've used it between my brother and sister. Actually, I used it this morning. So what happened was that, you see, they have like a bunk bed kind of thing. And my sister normally, like, she's scared in the night. So she likes going up to my brother's bed. And so my brother hates it. So like one time this morning, he pulled her off and then she started crying and made a big deal. So I asked my sister what happened, and she told me she was scared in the night, and which I understood because she's a bit younger. And my younger brother, who's older than her, told me his part, that he hates it when she comes up. So I made an agreement, they made an agreement that what happens that, so when my sister, because she likes the top bunk, she thinks she's high away from all the shadows that she's scared from. So we made an agreement that my brother, once a week or so, he'd let her stay on the top and he stays on the bottom, because she doesn't like being on the bottom. She finds it scary. I don't understand that, but you know, that's her kind of, that's not for me to say, but you know. So yeah, I guess that's kind of how it worked at home this morning.
Well, like, if Dahi, like my brother, if he's fighting with someone, one of his friends in the estate, and like I'd come over and I'd be like, why are you doing this, and like, what happened first, and why are you arguing and stuff. So it does help you.
My cousins, they were like arguing. And, like, I didn't use the exact format of, like, the questions, but I just said, like, I just brought one into one room and then just asked them questions because they're younger than me. And I just told them that this is not joking, and I just asked them plain, simple questions. And I asked my other cousin plain, simple questions, and then they're fighting over, like, who should play first in the play on the PlayStation. So then I just said, one of you just take turns or just play two-player games.
Millie, from episode 11 and 12, is running family circles.
Yeah, I use it for, like, sometimes I use talking pieces, like just talking with my family about what to do on the weekend or something. I'll, like, go get a bottle of water or something and be like, this is the talking piece. And also, like, if my siblings are fighting, I'll make them sit in a circle and, like, say, oh, you can't do that now. Like, what did you do wrong? Apologise to your brother or sister or whatever.
John, from episode 10, talks about the impact of restorative practices in his relationships with his family and friends.
I guess sometimes it can be potentially easier to work restoratively in your own professional environment as opposed to at home. I guess the nature of it is with those closest to you that you are more emotionally involved, and it can be easier sometimes to react in a different way. But I really feel that it has helped me in my own personal relationships, whether that be with friends or family members or loved ones, that's really enhanced my ability to communicate maybe how I'm feeling in a calm manner, and maybe any unmet needs that might be there. And I suppose it's really, really enhanced my capacity for compassionate listening as well, which was something I definitely needed to work on and still need to work on. But it can really, really enrich your personal life as well. And like I said, it's something that you might have been introduced to as part of professional development, but it really, really becomes intertwined into your personal life also. I think for me, when I was first introduced to restorative practices, and it's nearly 10 years ago now, which is mind-blowing, but I would have been, you know, a typical country lad after moving up to Dublin, living in rented accommodation with maybe a group of four or five people, with my friends. And, you know, sometimes, as we all know, in that situation, there can be tensions amongst the group living together and sharing the same space, and things like, you know, washing dishes or what's on TV or that kind of stuff. And I think RP really helped me to kind of communicate in a safe way in that environment, about where I was coming from. And then also to kind of, you know, understand that others' behaviours might be an expression of something else that might be going on for them, and to be really open to that, and to have those conversations. You know, I can see this has happened. Are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help here? And I think it definitely enhanced those relationships, and also reduced that feeling of, you know, that of imagined hurt that you might have, that you might think somebody might be doing something just to get to you, and to kind of maybe be more understanding.
Oisin, from episode 13, might not use restorative practices at home, except when he does.
Do I use it at home? Probably not a huge amount. Like I try not to take work home with me as soon as I kind of, we have like gates here. As soon as I go out the gates, I'm thinking, okay, like back into my, you know, into my own self. But like, I suppose, you know, as I said there about doing counselling as well, like, you know, I remember kind of years ago when I first started working here, having a kind of disagreement with my sister, and when I lived at home, and my sister saying to me, "Don't, you know, I'm not one of the kids in work," and that, like, so, you know, kind of don't be talking to me like I'm one of the kids, you know, because I'm kind of there with my sister. Oh, what? Tell me what happened, or how are you feeling, and that, and like, you know, straight away, your family, they know you, you know, and they know you're kind of speaking kind of differently than you would kind of speak maybe. Like, look, I'm sure it'll work for some people to kind of that, but like, you know, I think I'm kind of comfortable in my own skin, and my family are kind of comfortable with who I was beforehand and who I am after doing it. So, you know, it's like, that's what I think, that really kind of, they're really applicable and really easy to use skills, the skills of restorative practices and that. I haven't said that, I'm thinking of a time I did with my family, I did kind of mediate a big issue, and I probably would have been using kind of, you know, I'd introduced a kind of talking piece. We went round the room for, you know, something that was a really kind of big conflict within the family, and I suppose I used that. So here's me thinking I don't use it, and I do use it. So
John from episode 3 is talking about the challenges of using RP at home.
I'm the same parent with emotions when I go home to my house, to my children who are fighting with each other, or my wife who might be fighting with them or fighting with me. It's like this, do as I say, don't do as I do. But I find it more difficult at home in my own personal life, but I do have used it, and I think I have better relationships by doing it.
Ed and Finn, students from Wicklow Secondary School in episode 9, discussed the challenge of bringing restorative practices at home.
I know the second I did the restorative practice workshop and the NVC workshop, I started bringing it to my family, and that has hugely impacted the way we interact. And, you know, there's this sort of thing, like with my eldest brother who's 25, there's just this thing that society puts on siblings. It's like, oh yeah, siblings fight. That's just what they do. They wrestle, they fight, they piss each other off. And there came to a point where we were kind of like, well, what if we don't want to? What if that makes me feel bad? What if I'd actually love this person who I spend so much time together with to actually spend that nicely, not fighting and not that? So once I kind of had that rechange of mind, and I kind of told that to my siblings and stuff like that, that really has changed my interactions with them and my whole interactions with my whole family about how, you know, when there's a conflict, just having that restorative approach to sort of maybe not necessarily resolve the conflict, but really hear where everyone is coming from. Because majority of the time when someone does something annoying, it's because they had a really bad day that day, or they're just tired or hungry, or, you know, it's very simple things usually.
I think at home with my family members, it's actually a lot more difficult, I find myself, because I don't know, it's just, you know, with family dynamics and having, you know, grown up with my siblings and, you know, just being around them to that point, like, I think, like, I don't know, it's socially more acceptable for you to be like, feck off to your siblings, or like, you know, go away or shut up to your siblings, than it is, you know, like a friend or you know, an acquaintance, somebody you aren't quite, you know, you don't really have that same sort of sibling connection with, but I'm like Finn was saying, like, that doesn't necessarily mean it's okay at all, and it shouldn't be like that. It's just kind of something, you know, part of the way, you know, thing the world is. So it's a lot easier, I find, to kind of, you know, forget, you know, any restorative practice training that I've had or whatever, and just kind of go back to those same old ways of communicating like that with my family members. And I mean, again, I think it comes down to the fact that it is like a practice. It's something that, you know, you have to keep kind of reminding yourself, okay, taking that moment to kind of go, okay, what are the questions again? Or even taking out your little card that has them written down, then trying again, or like, yeah, just taking a breath, taking a moment to kind of go, okay, how should I be dealing with this? And, you know, yeah. And then I think in school, then compared to that, you know, obviously it's a very different dynamic. It's not home. It's my school. It's where I come to learn. It's my community. So it's kind of like you want to put that extra effort into the relationships that you have in your community and stuff as well, because it's kind of like sometimes, you know, I could have the attitude at home. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter what I say. Like, they're still going to love me because they're my family. They're my family members. So like, it's grand, you know, that can be kind of the thinking sometimes. So yeah, I think it's just a little more difficult.
For sure, with my family, it's more difficult, particularly when I first learned NVC, you know, and in my head, I'm like, okay, now I'm this wise guru and I have all these ideas. And, you know, I come home and what they're used to is who I regularly was, of like, oh, yeah, go away. Or I would just act the way I would around my siblings. And I come home and I'm like, and how do you feel about this? And they're like, well, no, I don't like this. This isn't Finn. Go away. Because, you know, I'm introducing something completely new to some of them. I mean, my parents have experience in this, but for some of them, it's random and new. And so they're like, well, what is this? I don't like this. This isn't how we do things here. And so that was difficult to kind of like, okay, can we try this new thing out? And then the other thing, like Ed said, is you're more vulnerable around your family. You can kind of be yourself completely. And, you know, you're going out into the world and you're putting on your masks or your different strategies to cope with different people or to, you know, be out there in the world. But the second you come home, you relax. And that's kind of when most of the conflict happens, because you're relaxed and you have your guard down and someone does something that annoys you and you're like, oh, you know, you're like, go away. So that element is there too. And because you can be so vulnerable with that person, you can also hurt them more in a space that you can be complete yourself around someone. It's much easier to hurt someone the closer you are to someone. I think that is just the case.
Geraldine from episode 2 is practicing restorative parenting with her teenage daughters.
I have 3 daughters and a 7-year-old with autism. And as I said, the daughters are teenagers now. And I do look at the atmosphere in my house, let's say, and how high it is at times. The 3 of them are sort of going through puberty and they are very much know everything about the world. And I do think of how I'm dealing with them now to 10 years ago. If I had been in that frame of mind, I would not be able to deal with them because they're throwing the head and they're using tones that I would be like, that sort of triggers something in me or disrespecting me. But rather than being triggered, I have that capability to sort of step back and go, well, right now at the moment, the tone of your voice is not making me want to listen to you. And because I've been using it for the last like 5 years with them, they could literally be streeling out of each other's hair, screaming at each other. She took my, she has my. And I'd walk into the room and go, all right, what's happening? And they'd just straight down, which is, I do often walk out and go, oh, that's brilliant. Because I don't get, they're not coming straight back at me because they know I'm going to give them the opportunity to tell me what's happened. I'm going to listen. They're going to be heard. And I'm going to deal with it fairly as well. So I took the opportunity to explain to my kids with my card, you know, well, these are the 3 E's of fairness and this is how I will determine what's fair. And they're happy with that because when they feel, oh, this knife, it's not fair, I'll say to them, well, really think about it. Is it not fair? And they do the thinking themselves. And I'm like, oh, I could be succeeding here of actually rearing decent adults, you know, that sort of way.
And lastly, Claire from CDI talks about her own experience of RP at home.
My name is Claire Casey. I'm the Restorative Practice Programme Manager at the Childhood Development Initiative, CDI. Very happy to be part of this podcast, which I'm very happy this podcast has happened. To be quite honest, Dorothy, I really started with restorative practices at home in a serious sense. I mean, I had tried practicing the restorative language and conversations with people at the petrol station, and that got me comfortable with using the format, I suppose. And I did get a really good relationship with a couple of people at the petrol station out of that. But really, it was at home with who was my then partner, my now husband, where just the day-to-day conflicts, like things like he leaves the cup on the sink and the dishwasher is right there. Why? Those kind of conflicts. I just started practicing with those. And overall, I would say, and then obviously more serious stuff, which I'm not going to go into here, but it changed the way I was about those kind of conflicts. I would, hand on heart, say I would not be married if I hadn't actually got this skill. I got married 5 years after I did the training. So, and I'm very happily married now. And then also really, and it's something that is the reason I'm completely passionate about restorative practices is with my family. You know, I'm one of six kids, it's changed the way I am with the kind of conflicts that come up within family that usually, like before, and not even known it, being completely unconscious of it, reacting out of being a 13-year-old rather than who I want to be in the world today. And now when I need to talk about something difficult with any of my siblings or my mother, I'm prepared for it in a way and calm about it, and I get better outcomes, and it's easier for me, and I believe it's easier for them, and that's why I love restorative practices.
So this is the last episode of the season. Thank you very much to all the people involved, to CDI and Claire Casey. It has been a real privilege to be part of this project, to conduct these interviews, listen to the stories and the wisdom everybody so generously shared. Thank you to Amy in the podcast studio for her patience, flexibility and skills. And thank you to all our listeners. I will now pass it on to Claire for the conclusion of the season.
So on behalf of CDI, I really want to thank everybody involved with this project. It's been fantastic. We're really, really, really grateful to Dorothy Potter-Danu and to Amy O'Dwyer at Headstuff, who put this podcast together. And obviously, we're hugely grateful to all of the interviewees. You have been all brilliant. So thanks so much. The reason CDI developed this podcast series is because part of my work has been to support Restorative Practices Ireland, which is a national network of practitioners around the country. One element of that work has involved me in organising and facilitating regional meetings, regular regional meetings since 2014. Every time I've been at a regional meeting, I have heard from people anecdotes and stories about how restorative practices has been really helpful in their lives and their work. And every single time I've heard one of those at a Restorative Practice Ireland meeting, I've said to those people, could you write that down and send it to me and we can put it up on the website? And they've said yes, and not one of them has ever done that. I also get regular phone calls from people who've done our training. We provide restorative practices training on a very regular basis. So I get regular phone calls unsolicited from people who've done the training. I might get maybe 6 or 7 phone calls a year from people calling in saying, look, I really want to just say thank you for that training. And when you tell the trainer, thanks a million, because here's what happened when I had this restorative conversation, or here's what happened when I facilitated this restorative circle, or here's what happened when I had this meeting, and they're just so happy about the difference it has made in their life and work. And I always say to those people, that's brilliant. Could you write that down? Send it in. And nobody ever sends it. So finally, I heard myself saying it one more time. And I thought, why didn't I record that? And I was saying that to my CEO, Marion Quinn. And she was saying, well, why don't we record it? Maybe we could do a podcast series. And I thought, what's a podcast? Because I'm of that generation. I'm one of those people who never got into it. I'm going to get into it now. But yeah, so I'm really, really happy that we have these stories documented, because people want to know how it works. And now we can give them examples of people who aren't trainers, people who aren't, you know, invested in it in the way I am because it's my job, people who are just people, all the wonderful people around Ireland, people who are wonderful people doing restorative practices. And they're telling their stories, and it's fantastic. Thank you, one and all.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Don't forget to rate and to subscribe to the show. And thank you to the production team at the podcast studios and to all who took part on the project. Find out more at cdi.ie.